Well, it's great to be with you today. Today we're going to launch off a new series that we're calling Deep and Wide. And I'm excited about this series because we're going to be talking about what for me is really a great passion of mine, something that really drives my enthusiasm for church and what we're trying to do. And so over the coming weeks, we're going to unpack really a framework that's going to help us understand what is it that God's trying to do. What's our role as God's church, and where do we individually play our role in this bigger picture and vision that we have for us? And so today I want to begin by telling you about a situation that happened to me fairly recently where someone came along and was having a conversation with me about, they were trying to work out what kind of a church they should be in. And they were saying to me that they'd been at a church that was, really good at reaching people and helping people who are new to faith who are exploring faith, and they loved it because the church they grew up in was a church where you would never ever invite anyone. It was just like, yeah, no one will know what's happening, they won't understand us, we have a different culture, a different language, it's just you know when it's a place that you wouldn't invite someone to. And I resonated with that because the church I grew up in was a church that I loved. But I just knew, I am never bringing one of my friends along to this because they will think we are a bunch of weirdos. But it would be weird for them, but it wasn't weird for me because I'd grown up in it and it was familiar to me, and so much of what we did kind of made sense. Even though there were some things that I was like, "There, that's a bit weird. I don't know why we do that and what that's all about." So he's telling me about this situation, but then he's saying, "But I feel like I want to be in a church where, you know, I can really go deep in my faith and I can really grow and, you know, really mature in my faith." And he's like, "I feel bad because this is a place I didn't bring my friends to, but I don't feel like I can go deep there." And so he said to me, "So what kind of a church is this? Is this a church that, you know, like for, helping people go deep in their faith, you know, helping you be mature? Or is this a church that's aimed on people who aren't used to church or we're trying to reach?" And as he was saying it, I realized this is not a new conversation I've had. I have had this conversation with so many people. As a matter of fact, I've wrestled with this myself over the years. And it really comes into this idea we're talking about for the series. What does it mean for us to be a church that is going both deep and also is wide, with a big wide open door that can welcome people, anyone, no matter where they're at in their journey of life, and take them on that journey towards that deeper life in Christ that we all, or those of us who believe in Jesus, desire and want for our lives. And it really taps into this problem, which is what we call the either-or mindset. It's this framework that, sometimes some people have this idea that you can have a really good career or you can have a really good marriage and home life, but you can't have both. It's like you can choose the red card or the yellow card, and there's this kind of black and white, you have to make choices. We're either a church that's for the community or we're a church that's about building up the saints. Which is it? And I struggle with that because as I look at Jesus and as I look at the Gospels and I look at Scripture, I actually see both. I see it's a both and. And this is what I want to unpack over the coming weeks. What does that mean? What does that look like for our church, and what does that mean for us? And I want to begin with this idea that Jesus teaches in the Gospel of Matthew. We actually read the very famous account where Jesus is about to return to heaven. It's after the resurrection and the cross, and his disciples come to him on the mountain. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "Jesus came and he told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore,'" or you might say, in light of that reality, he says, "go and make disciples of all the nations." So he commissions his disciples. The word "go" literally means in the Greek, "in your going." The inference being, wherever you go, whatever you do, intentionally invite people onto the journey of learning the way of the Master. Which is really what the word "disciple" means. We spoke about this in church last week, or the week before it was. This idea that the word "disciple" is not a common word we use these days, but it literally means apprentice or pupil. In other words, we're going to learn the way of Jesus. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, those who have already been learning his way, I want you to go and make disciples or apprentices or pupils of my way. And I want you to be part of that experience. I want you to be part of that journey. And so he says to them, go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, everyone gets to get in on this story. Everyone gets to learn the way of Jesus. And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which was an idea that was about an identity shift. When you're being baptized, it's the idea of saying, I'm now identifying myself with Jesus, with Christ, with his way, with his life. And I'm saying goodbye to my old way of living that's not serving me any longer. And I'm changing my mindset and my entire life around this new identity of being identified in Christ through baptism. And then he says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And then he gives them this great encouragement. He says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Which is pretty comforting, because if you're going to go and do what Jesus was doing with his disciples, you want to know that God is with you. And so Jesus assures his disciples that he will be with them in this process of in their going into the whole world, no matter what people group, no matter what type of person, that they can invite people to learn and discover the way of Jesus. Now, this is a pretty foundational scripture that's often used in terms of what we might call evangelism. This idea of announcing the good news, announcing Jesus' way of life to people and inviting them to participate in his life. The challenge comes as people begin that journey. If you are that person who's being invited into that journey in the early stages, and there's a church or a group of people or a leader who's inviting you onto that journey, and you're learning those ways and you're early in on that journey, that's great, it's life-giving. But all of us could probably acknowledge at some point in our life, there's been a moment where you've walked into a particular community or a particular subculture, and you've had that moment where you think, I do not know what is going on here. I don't understand what they're talking about it. Now, it happened to me when I was a teenager and I was hanging around a bunch of surfers who had this whole language of surfing that I didn't grow up with. Now, I probably have my own language for cricket and soccer and even skateboarding, but there were the things that my friends who were into surfing said that I'm like, I don't even know what they're talking about. Is this a place? Is this a town? Is this a person? Is this a move on a surfboard? What are they talking about? And so you feel stupid when you kind of want to put your hand up and go, hey, what do you mean? What are you talking about? The same thing happens in society and culture as it does in church. When people come along to our church environments for the very first time, or you invite a friend, you have that moment where they're sitting with you in a gathering or some kind of environment, and all of a sudden you become aware that we have this language. We have this way of doing things, and this is so unfamiliar to someone who's brand new. And so all of a sudden you become conscious of that and you think, ooh, I want this to be a safe and a welcoming space for my friend to be able to explore. Because that feels like a loving thing to do. It doesn't feel very loving if you invite someone into a space and they have no clue what's happening and they feel super uncomfortable in that space. So we want to create environments and spaces where people feel safe. They can ask questions. They can say, hey, when you said that word, what on earth does that mean? Or why do we do these things? Or, you know, when you, what was that thing you call it? Communion or the Lord's Supper? What's that all about? Why do you have that cup with the red juice in it? And you call it the blood of Jesus. What's that all about? And what's the bread for? Now, not all of our environments traditionally in church have been places that are super relevant for people who are new to the journey or who are exploring. And so Good Life's heart and passion right from the beginning of the church starting was to create a community, to create a church, and to create spaces that could serve and lovingly engage people in the community. And that as people were curious about faith, they could take steps towards discovering the way of Jesus. But here's what we know. As you go on that journey and you want to learn more about the gospel and you want to learn more about faith and you start to go into that deeper journey of faith, you pick up along the way all kinds of things that you didn't first know at first. And so what can then happen is you have then a new space of comfort where you hang around other believers and you kind of all know to a certain degree what you're talking about. And there's like a starting point, a reference point where we all know we don't have to start at the beginning. we kind of know where we are, and so we've got a certain starting point. And this is where the tension starts to kick in for lots of churches. Because some churches say, oh no, the environment we've created now is not super helpful for new people or those exploring faith. So let's create a space for them. And all the effort and energy goes into that environment. And then other churches say, well, hang on, if we do that, then people aren't going to mature in their faith. So we want to create an environment that really helps people go deep in their faith. But then you quickly learn, I don't know if that's the best space to bring my friend who's curious or who I've been sharing with. And so we end up in this kind of either-or dynamic. And some churches have decided to just choose one of those paths. We're going to be a church that's wide, that's all about reaching people. And some other churches have said, we're going to be a church that's all about helping people go deep in their faith. And you can make a case for either side of that. But I honestly believe we don't have to choose an either-or. It can be both and. And so what I'm going to share with you over the coming minutes and then over the coming weeks is a framework to help us understand as Good Life, what does it look like for us to be both a church that helps people go deep in their faith and also create wide open spaces and opportunity, a big wide open door for people to explore faith and experience community, even if they never accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in the way that we may understand. And so what would that look like? So really, when we talk about what is deep and what is wide, there's a framework for deep and wide that I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes. But I want to start with deep for a moment. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 3, he says this amazing statement in the context of a prayer. It's kind of like his heart prayer expressed in a written letter. And in Ephesians, he says to the church at Ephesus, when I think of all this, and he's talking about the gospel and the mystery of God's goodness in revealing himself and his plans for both his church and for the world. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And what is it that he prays? He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Now, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want the inner strength of the Holy Spirit of God at work in your life? I know I definitely do. And then he says in verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. This whole idea of Christ making his home in our hearts is obviously metaphorical and to a certain degree literal in the sense that we want Christ to fully be the core of our lives. We want his life to be in us. We want to learn his way and we literally want to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And this is what it means to have Christ in our hearts. And then he says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him and your roots will go down deep into God's love and keep you strong. I love this image. There's this idea that as Christ comes into our hearts, our lives, if we see ourselves almost like a plant or a tree, are going to have roots that are going to go deep into the ground so that we are well established. And this idea here of being well established is he says that they will go deep into God's love. In other words, the more we are established, the deeper we go in our relationship with Christ, the more we're established in the love of God. And this is one of the key defining markers of what it means to be deep in your faith, is the love of God present in your life. And if Christ is working and deeply at home in your heart, you can be encouraged that your roots will continue to grow deeper down and that love will be the expression of your life, the love that we see in God and in Jesus. And then he goes on and says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. In other words, as you get God's life into you, you're going to have a greater and greater understanding of how incredibly loving God is. In other words, he goes on, he actually says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. In other words, God's love is so expansive that we can barely understand the beauty of it, the majesty of it, the lengths, the depths of it. And so it's an invitation ultimately to say, I want my life to be deeply immersed in the way of Jesus so that God's love is in me, that I'm grounded in it, and that everything that I do flows out of that. Now, I don't know anyone in the world who wouldn't want me or you to look more like God's love. Because if there's one thing most people agree with, even atheists, that if people become more loving, which results in them, you know, pursuing all the things we spoke about through the Nine Beats series, they become more just and more merciful, and you know, they pursue peace, and they're about all the things that the world desperately is longing for that we see in Christ, then that's a good thing. And it means my ego starts to drop, and all the things about me that don't serve others well begins to decrease, and love begins to increase. And the world needs more of that, and my wife wants more of that in my life, and my kids want more of that in me as their dad, and I want more of that in my kids, and I want to see that in my friends. We all desire this. And so Paul's saying this is how we become deep in our faith. And so then he says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. In other words, if you want to understand what deep is, deep is being established in the love of God, allowing Christ to reign in your heart, and you will actually become complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God if your life is established in Christ. And so you can see this picture of this tree, you know, having the life of Christ in it and its roots going down deep. And then as this tree grows, it kind of like begins to flourish. And if I can extend the metaphor a little bit, you end up being a life-giving person, a life-giving tree that provides shade and provides fruit, possibly, if we can, you know, expand the possibilities of what that looks like. And so that's a really good thing for our life. So when I'm talking in this series about being deep, what am I actually saying? Deep isn't about how much information you have. Deep is becoming spirit aware and being aware of God's work of love around us and in us. Someone who's deep is not necessarily someone who can quote the most verses of scripture. Someone who's deep is someone who's had a profound experience with the love of God and knows that they are fully loved as they are. And that in that place, that's as their identity, they're able to express God's love to the world around about them. This is what it means to be deep. To be deep means to allow the very wisdom of God to outwork itself in your life. And so we need that. Deep is becoming mature in Christ, looking increasingly like Christ, rested in Christ. And if you're growing deep in Christ, you will have your heart grow wide and want to make space for people. So when people say to me, should we be deep or should we be wide? I would say, well, the journey is let's pursue Christ together. And as we pursue Christ, we become deeper in our faith. And as we become deeper in our faith, our hearts will expand, where we're able to embrace others that we wouldn't normally have. Because we're being less judgmental, and we're actually looking at people through eyes of compassion and love, we're able to make space for people in our hearts and our lives that perhaps we wouldn't previously. At least that's been my experience. The more I am established in Christ, the more I find myself being gracious and kind and open and willing to listen and engage with people that perhaps in the past I didn't have time for. And so this is really the journey that we go on as a church. So when we talk about becoming wider in our faith, we're really saying as a church, being wide is becoming others aware. So if going deeper is about the work that Christ is doing in us, the result will be that we begin to not only become consciously aware of what God is doing in us, but we actually begin to see the world around about us through the eyes of Christ. And if we're seeing the world around about us through Jesus' eyes, surely that means we're going to follow in the way of Jesus, which is we're beginning to include and welcome the very things we see in the gospel Jesus doing all the time. We're breaking down the barriers that prevent people from being able to engage in our faith. One of the things Jesus was revolting constantly against in the Jewish tradition and in his day and age was these systems and these structures that prevented people from being able to engage in the life of God, where they felt like outcasts. They didn't feel accepted. They weren't on the in crowd. They weren't in on the whole thing. And so Jesus was always, you know, breaking those barriers down and engaging with the people around about him, that everyone went, hang on a second, why is Jesus hanging with sinners? Because that's what God's love causes us to do. Why is Jesus hanging out with tax collectors and people that are seemingly oppressing even people religiously, like Pharisees, that you go, hang on a second, aren't you against them? It just seems like Jesus kept breaking down all the walls all the time and engaging the very people that most needed to experience and know God's love. And I think this is what it means for us to be wide. So the challenge for us as a community is, how do we, as a Good Life community, create spaces that are wide and welcoming and hospitable for people no matter where they're at on their journey? And how do we understand our role in that? Because here's what I know typically happens in most churches. You come along to a church, you look for a church that's going to meet your needs. And then, which is very common in Western culture and society, we end up creating a almost consumeristic mindset where we come to church and we ask ourselves the wrong questions. We ask ourselves things like, was the teaching good today? Was the worship, meaning was the music, you know, up to standard, or did they play the songs that I like? Or did I get the seat that I normally like to sit in? Or was the check-in process for the kids program, was it fast or was it long and difficult today? And we often rate our church experiences through these lens of what our own personal journey is. But I think as we mature in Christ, if we're going to be a community that goes both deep and wide, we understand that maturity results in us being others aware. When we turn up to our gatherings, we're thinking about things in terms of who this environment is for. How are we helping people begin that process and journey in? We said at the beginning of the year, we used a phrase that is, nobody stands alone. Someone who's really going deep in their faith increasingly becomes someone who's others aware. And I want to, for a few moments before we wrap up, just as an introduction today, I want to show you an image that's actually going to articulate what it means for us as a church community to go both deep and wide. And the image is going to come up on the screen here in a moment. And you're going to see four different environments. And I'm going to unpack it this way. The first environment would be what we call our neighborhood. The neighborhood is the community that God has called us to go and to love and to serve. And our responsibility as Good Life and as God's people is to not just live in our own little church community and our own little holy huddle, but to literally use the life-transforming work of Jesus in our lives to go and to serve and love those in our neighborhood and community. We often say things like, wherever we see hell, let's bring heaven. Wherever we see, you know, injustice, let's bring justice, and let's see oppression cease, because that's what it means to be gospel people. And so we need to ask ourselves continually the question, what does it look like as Good Life to love our neighbors? How can we best do that? The next environment is what we call, it's kind of the metaphor of a home, is the foyer. And the foyer environment is a place for guests. When someone comes to your home for the very first time, if someone walks into your house and they've never been to your home before, you don't normally take them to your kitchen bench or to the dining room table and then sit down and get out the your budget and talk about the chores list and say, right, welcome to our house. Here's some of the chores that need to be done, and here's our budget, and here's how our house operates. That would be a very weird experience for a guest. When someone comes in the front door of your home, you want to welcome them in. You don't just walk off and go and do your chores or say, okay, good luck, I'm going to go out and mow the lawn now. You literally think of a guest's experience and you bring them in and you want to make sure that they have water and they have a snack and they feel welcome and safe in that place. So the foyer is really those environments of Good Life where people have a first experience of our community, and we want that to be a place of welcome and a place of hospitality. And our role in that as people part of Good Life is not to just look at from the distance and go, huh, look, some new people have walked in our foyer door and go, this is interesting, I wonder what it's going to be like for them. Our responsibility as people part of the community is to say, how can we each be hospitable? How can we welcome these people and make sure that their journey, no matter how fast or how slow it is engaging in this life of faith here, demonstrates the very love of God that we're inviting people into. The next environment is what we would call a lounge environment. And a lounge environment is a place where people can find community and they can find friends. And this is so important because the reality is people are interested more in belonging before even sometimes they believe. Because sometimes people aren't sure if they believe in the love of God or the love of Jesus or what it is that we say we're about until they experience it in community. And then through relationships and through connections, they end up going, yeah, you guys are, yeah, you're. This is authentic. This is real. This is what I'm looking for. And so in a lounge environment, we're really inviting people to take a step where they get to experience community. Sometimes in our church, that might be, there's so many examples of that, but it might be like a men's gathering where, you know, we meet up and guys get to meet one another and, you know, trade stories and just, it's like a safe environment to get to know people and build friendships. We have so many of these environments at Good Life that are these places for connection and places where people can build friendship. But if they were our only environments, then we would be a church that's really good at going wide, but we may struggle to really help people go deep in their faith. And so that's why we need this fourth environment, and that's what we call the kitchen environment. You might call it the table environment or the dining room environment. Doesn't really matter, but for our purposes today, we're calling it the kitchen environment. And this is really where we do family, where we do life together, and we go on this deeper journey of wrestling and working out together. What does it mean for us to be deeply formed in the way of Jesus? We call it the table or the kitchen environment because it's around the table that we share stories. It's around the table that we break bread and we take the juice and we experience communion together where we remember what Christ has done for us and what Christ is inviting us into. And we have lots of different kitchen environments at Good Life. We have got small groups and we have teams that are, you know, on mission together that carry both the responsibility of community or responsibility of Good Life, but also the heart and soul of who we want to be as a community. We started this year piloting spiritual retreats and different environments and different gatherings to help people have space and time to really go deep in their faith. And so with all this, it kind of creates tension. And so over the coming weeks, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually unpack each of these different environments and talk about the biblical foundation and principles for why every one of these environments is so important for us to both express our love widely and how we embrace others and take people on the journey and do that considerately and with full awareness for their journey and their experience, so that we're patient with people on that journey, but then also how we, in our own journey, continue to go deeper well beyond the early stages of our faith. How can we be, you know, deeply formed in the way of Jesus? And so often there's this tension of that. But what I'm utterly convinced about is when we make a commitment to fight for each of these spaces, for them, for what their purpose is and how they serve people, we don't have to pit one against the other. We don't have to be the church that says, oh, we're all about the neighborhood and the foyer, or we're all about the, you know, the lounge room and the kitchen space. It's actually the whole. To be deep and wide, it goes together. You can't have one without the other. And so often in the world, things are pitted against one another. You're either this or you're that. You're either, you know, for this subculture or you're against this group. But in the kingdom of God, it's not that way. To be actually formed in the way of Jesus is actually to say we care about others. We care about their journey. And so in our gatherings, when we say things that are for guests that you've heard a million times, we don't have to get frustrated at that. We can actually celebrate and go, I'm so glad they say these things, because when my friend comes here for the first time, that's going to be a loving experience for them to understand why we do what we do or what's happening next, or simple things that we go, oh, we already know that, as kind of people who are familiar with this environment. Because when you go deep in your relationship with Jesus, your heart expands and you're like, hey, we want to create space and room for people who are learning this journey that we've been learning. But we also want to make sure that we don't just invite people into a shallow faith environment where they meet people who we're saying what the good news is, but they can't actually see the good news of Christ at work in our lives. And this is why we need to go on this deeper spiritual formation journey. And so in the coming weeks, I'm going to unpack what does it look like for us and what do these environments look like for us where we can build deep community and where we can actually establish ourselves deep in the ways of Jesus, where our roots can go down deep so that not that we can start sprouting off all the knowledge and information we know theologically about our faith, but so that the deep theological foundations of our faith are expressed in the way we live our lives. Because when people see us looking increasingly like Jesus, that's probably the greatest testimony to the reality of our faith we could ever have. So my invitation to you as we just start off this introduction this week is to this. Let's make a commitment in our heart to say, God, I want to go deep and I want my heart and my life to be wide. I want your life, the life of Christ, as Paul says, to be deeply at home in my heart, so that the roots of my life go deep into the ground and I can actually increasingly see how deep and how long and how wide and how high the love of God really is. And may that be outworked in my life in such a way that in every different environment, as we go into our neighborhood, as we go to our work environments, at all the places that we do our life in, people can see the life of God in us. And as I've shared before, may people say of us, thank God you're here, rather than, oh my goodness, here come the annoying Christians who think they're the moral police of the world. That is not our vocation. Our vocation is to demonstrate the love of God and to announce His good news. That really is good news for everyone. And as we invite people into our home, as they come through the foyer, how do we make space to make people feel welcome in a really hospitable environment? How do we play our role in helping people get connected in community? And how do we help people find a seat at the table where they can go deep in their life, where they can learn what it means to be part of the team, to play their role in, you might say, in your home, the responsibilities or the chores or the things that's going to make our home a healthy environment. And so my prayer for you is this. May you seek God this week and say, God, help me to be deeply established in you and in your life and your love. And may my heart increasingly grow wider to embrace all those who you may bring our way. That's our prayer and that's the heartbeat of what Good Life has always been about and will continue to be about. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that you love every person in this world and that you have done and gone to extreme, you have gone to extraordinary efforts through the cross to demonstrate your love. Your sacrificial death on that cross is the ultimate demonstration of your love and commitment to us as a humanity. And Lord, you modeled for us a willingness to engage and embrace everyone around about you, from the most hard-hearted Pharisaical religious leader to the most lost person who felt like faith was not relevant for them, was not even an option for them. Lord, you were always embracing and including and bringing people into your love. May we be people like you who follow in your way, who learn your way, and have our hearts and our lives deeply established in your love, that may be expressed in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.